Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Kevin Reddington wanted to be back in court, well, today, as of this recording, Tuesday, to ask the judge to end the Lindsey Clancy case. If the judge refused, he wanted to start picking another jury the following Monday. That's what he initially wanted after they got the mistrial. It was, okay, well, let's get right back to work. I gotta appreciate the work ethic in Kevin Reddington, without a doubt. All right, this one didn't work. Let's keep going. We have to wait, though, to discover what the DA is wanting to do. First, what are the possible paths forward here for Lindsey Clancy? We're going to get into all of that in this piece. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description or right below this video if you'd like to start commenting. So that was his request after Friday's mistrial. After weeks of testimony and 7 days of deliberations, he was ready to go again almost immediately. Kevin Reddington is no spring chicken, but my God, this guy's got the gusto and the willpower of someone half his age, putting it lightly. Judge William Sullivan slowed that timetable down. He talked about a possible trial later in the fall with schedules still to be worked out. So, yes, another trial is a real possibility. And I understand the reaction. Are they seriously going to put this family through all of that again? Reddington is trying to get the prosecution stopped before that happens. District Attorney Tim Cruz has to decide whether his office will keep pursuing this as this goes forward. Cruz hasn't announced a decision to retry her yet. Clancy's 3 murder charges remain unresolved. You could hear how close Reddington believed he had come when he spoke about 11 jurors favoring acquittal. That's his account of the split. From his point of view, he persuaded almost the entire room. And one person had kept his client from being acquitted. Of course, he wanted to hang on to that jury. I mean, think about getting that close. Then having to explain to your client that you're still facing the possibility of starting all over again. We just went through this horrific multi-week experience in court of having to relive all of the worst moments of your life. And some of you are like, she deserves it. She should have to do that. And some of you are like, oh my God. The woman had a break from reality so severe that she thought it was a good idea to end the lives of her children. She's living in the horror reality of that as long as she breathes. She wants to be in an institution for the rest of her life because she knows she's not well. Why do we have to keep taking her out of the cage and poking her with sticks? What are we getting out of that? Are you teaching her a lesson? Don't kill your kids. We poke sticks at you. This'll teach the next one. Yeah, that always works. As you're about to fall into a fit of psychosis, you go, wait a second. I shouldn't get into that state of psychosis because the last time it happened to someone, it didn't work out so well, and her name was Lindsey Clancy. Let me stop my mind from deteriorating so much that I fall into that state of psychosis and do horrible things. Let me just put a roadblock up and stop that from happening. Oh, you can't do that? Oh, well, if you can't do that, then should we be handling this as if you can? As if it were a calculated choice on her part? Let's go back to the holdout. The complaint about the holdout deserved attention. The foreperson reported that the juror had acknowledged doubt but wasn't applying it to the verdict as the law required. Reddington wanted further questioning. Sullivan said the note didn't establish a refusal to follow the law and pointed out that the jurors had said they could follow his instructions. The defense's emergency request to the state's highest court failed, and the jury was then discharged. I would have wanted that concern examined carefully, too. Being the person who disagrees with everybody else doesn't automatically make you wrong. Refusing to follow the judge's instructions, though, would be another matter. Sullivan did not find that established here. It doesn't mean it wasn't happening. It just means the judge, within the confines of the note that he got back, didn't have that clearly established. We can question his handling of it without pretending we know everything that happened in that room. Now, Reddington wants Sullivan to look at whether the prosecution ever gave the jury enough evidence to convict. You'll hear this called a required finding of not guilty. That's the request he told the judge he wanted to argue. The judge has to ask, even taking the evidence at its strongest for the prosecution, could a reasonable jury find that the state proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt? A finding that the evidence was legally insufficient could end the prosecution on those charges. That would be a huge result for the defense without having to persuade another jury. That's a tough argument to win, though. Sullivan has to apply that standard even if he personally finds the defense persuasive. He can't just add his vote to the 11 Reddington described and call it an acquittal. Clancy's defense has acknowledged that she killed Cora Dawson and Callan. Her lawyers argue that postpartum psychosis left her without criminal responsibility. Prosecutors maintain she knowingly planned the killings. Her mental state at the time is the issue that would be fighting all over again. The prosecution had to prove she was responsible under the law beyond a reasonable doubt. So when someone asks why the defense didn't prove she was out of her mind, there's a problem with the question. The prosecution still has to prove its case. You can be horrified by what happened to these children and want a very hard look at whether that burden was actually met. For example, prosecutors called a pharmacy manager and a restaurant hostess who had spoken with Clancy by phone that day. Both said they noticed nothing unusual about those conversations, as if the restaurant manager and the pharmacy employee are supposed to somehow be experts on, you know, radaring psychosis through a phone call. Here's a fun little fact for you. Psychologists, psychotherapists, experts in their actual field are probably not going to be able to necessarily pick that up over a quick phone call when somebody's asking about Miralax. So the weight of when you were on the phone with them that day and what they said and what you got back. Well, they
said that everything was fine. I don't know. I mean, I was putting away the combos and the wheat thins, and then I got a call, and she seemed fine.
So you're telling me she wasn't psychotic on the phone call?
No, I'm pretty sure she wasn't psychotic.
See, jury? The man who was putting away combos and wheat thins in aisle 7, who answered the question about Miralax, says she wasn't psychotic. Fact. Those observations are part of the prosecution's weak presentation. Reddington's request puts the strength of that whole case before the judge. Sullivan has to consider the evidence prosecutors actually offered and what a jury could reasonably conclude from it, not just, you got a phone call about Miralax. If Sullivan turns Reddington down, the pressure moves to Cruz. The state, outside of the courthouse, he emphasized justice for the children. I understand why he brought the focus back to them. Gets a lot of attention. Gets a lot of people excited. You mentioned the kids. Wah! It is. It's like red meat to some people. I mean, it's sick. It's sick. I mean, I understand why he brought the focus back to them. It is ultimately about them, their deaths. They're the ones who paid for this hellscape. But how they got there is the question. And some are going to say, it doesn't matter how they got there, they're dead. To a certain extent, I do hear you. But in the interest of not repeating Lindsey Clancy's case over and over and over with different characters and different people every time, it might be in our best interest to try and understand this sort of illness or postpartum illnesses, depression, psychosis, and all the other myriad of fun that women have to go through after giving birth to children. Might be a little more in our best interest as human beings to try and understand that world rather than pretend it's full of witches and demons and people who just want to kill their children for fun. Because when you really look at it, it's not. There's sick people. There's hormones. There's chemicals moving in our bodies in ways we can't control and don't understand, and sometimes they move us into very unhealthy places that we ourselves do not have control over, and that's a scary thought. Without a doubt, that's a scary thought. But when that does happen, and it doesn't happen to everybody, but it does happen to some people, do we look at those people and go, well, that's your fault? That's your fault this happened to your body. That's your fault that you asked for help and there's nothing we could do to prevent this. It's still your fault and you need to burn for it. I mean, I get that if somebody's actively plotting and this is their plot in life of being a horrible human being, like, yeah, you can burn for that. But if this is not remotely how they've ever acted at any point in their life, and they've been begging for help and saying, I feel sick, I feel like there's something going on with my brain, and then the brain goes bad. It seems rather insane to look at that person and go, ha! See? Yeah, they've been telling you the whole time. It's not a see moment. So do we do that again? Do we do all of that again? My question for the state, for Cruz, it's pretty basic. After presenting this case once, what gives you confidence you can prove it to another jury? You know? You may believe the evidence already supports a conviction. A different jury could agree. Prosecutors don't need a dramatic new discovery just to retry an unresolved case. And Reddington's account of an 11-1 split won't carry any votes in a second jury room. The next 12 would have to work through the evidence themselves, just as the last 12 did. Both sides would also have a chance to rethink how they tell the story. Perhaps a witness's explanation needs to be clearer. Perhaps a particular argument was less effective than the lawyer expected. We don't know what either side would change here, but they would be preparing with the benefit of having already seen each other's put on a full case. That alone makes a second trial a different experience to the attorneys. Could they work out an agreement and avoid another trial? That's possible, although there's no confirmed deal to report as of this moment. The defense has spent this trial seeking an acquittal on mental health grounds, so a guilty plea would be a major decision for Clancy. Prosecutors would have to decide what they could accept. Wanting to spare people another trial doesn't by itself give both sides terms they're willing to sign. Cruz could also decide against continuing the prosecution. He has that option. He takes it. I'd want to hear his reasoning, too. These aren't three children's lives. Or these are three children's lives that we are talking about here. So what is the plan? What would you want to do? What happens to the questions about the care Clancy received? She and Patrick have separate civil cases against medical providers. Her civil attorney said after the mistrial that they intend to continue pursuing her lawsuits, which alleges failures in diagnosing and treating her mental illness. For anyone wondering whether the questions about her care disappear when the murder trial ends, those claims are still there. The lawsuits still have to establish that the providers were legally at fault, and they're going forward. Meanwhile, Clancy remains in custody at Tewksbury State Hospital. She wasn't released when the jury was dismissed. She's still waiting for the next decision while receiving care there. Even a future finding of not guilty because of mental illness wouldn't guarantee she goes home. Massachusetts has a process for examination and possible continued hospitalization after that kind of acquittal. The court would have to consider her present condition and the risk of serious harm. She could remain hospitalized if the legal requirements are met, or be released if there's no lawful basis to keep her. We can't put a number of years on that at this second. September 29th, though, is the next scheduled hearing. The court set it for discussion of where the case stands, possible trial scheduling, and Reddington's request for a finding of not guilty. His request for a hearing within days didn't become the court schedule. Sullivan mentioned a possible fall trial, but there's no fixed retrial start date yet to give you. We should get a clearer picture of how Reddington intends to argue that the case should end and what prosecutors want to do in the coming weeks. There may be more arguments and another date on the calendar before there's actually a final answer. So, be careful about treating September 29th as the day that everything gets settled. It is not necessarily that. It's the next roll of the dice on the Candyland from Hell board. Patrick has already been through the process of telling a courtroom how he came home and discovered what had happened. His 911 call was played for the jury. He was out of the room while it played. Those are the kinds of moments that sit behind the ordinary sounding words of another trial. His attorney, David Miter, released a statement thanking the court and jurors for their work and perseverance. He called the prospect of reliving the tragedy through another trial extraordinarily painful. He also said there would never be closure for Patrick. People keep talking about closure as though he's a version of this, or there's some version of this where the court gets it right and a father gets to feel better. I mean, imagine being asked to prepare for those questions again. Let's talk about the trip out to dinner, coming home, discovering your children. Patrick already described those moments under oath. It's a hell of a thing to ask a father to go through that again. Although for so many people, in their minds, he did it. So there's no problem doing that. I mean, is that the audacity of this case? Is that part of the thinking of Patrick did it? Does that make it like acceptable then to put him on the stand? Because if you think he had something to do with it, then you're working at getting to the truth. You're not just re-victimizing someone all over again for your entertainment purposes. I don't know. I mean, I still am trying to really grasp the psychology on Patrick did it. Obviously, he did not do it. I'm talking about the theory and the mindset that so many people have on this, how they got there. That's a fun one. I mean, fun in a twisted sort of, you need serious help sort of way. The prosecutor makes the charging decisions. Patrick's statement doesn't decide the case. But he has said what another trial would cost him. Before this family is asked to go through another round, I want the people pursuing it to explain why exactly it needs to happen. Why were we here in the first place? And I don't want to hear, for the kids. Because that is completely ignoring the whole reason why we got here. It's completely ignoring the mental health aspect of all this and pretending that that is not the main factor of all of this. And I guess, I mean, the more we keep pretending it does not a thing, I guess the more we can keep moving on with our lives and pretending that this couldn't happen to someone you love, your daughter, your sister, your friends, whatever, somebody. If it's not a thing, it can't happen to you, right? You know, the distancing and gymnastics that have gone on in this case for people to digest the case in whatever way they're able to has been incredibly fascinating. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.